USA Radio News with Audrey Strong.
It's fine. What he can do whatever he wants to do. It's fine. But I was surprised by it. And by the way, many other people were surprised by it. And some were really surprised by it and not happy about it.
That's Donald Trump, who says the lack of backing from House Speaker Paul Ryan caught him off guard yesterday. But in typical Trump fashion, he's hitting back. A spokesperson for Trump, Katrina Pearson, told CNN that Ryan is not fit to remain speaker if he can't get behind the likely Republican presidential nominee. Pearson says Ryan bears more responsibility to unify the party than Trump does. Trump has also said that he has no interest in helping Ryan push his agenda through Congress. Security is being tightened at the American embassy in Baghdad, CNN reporting that 25 heavily armed Marines arrived at the embassy this morning. The heightened security comes amid continued anti-government demonstrations in Iraq's capital city. This is USA Radio News.
After a rough day on the range, a feller can get a bit saddle sore. That's why I use Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. It works fast and penetrates deep to soothe my tired muscles and joints.
And he don't stink.
And I'll tell you one thing. I had no idea this stuff was so darn handy.
Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. Available at all major retailers. It works fast for long-lasting soothing of tired muscles and joints.
And you won't stink.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
Night Owls got the chance to see a rocket launch from Cape Canaveral and a new rocket model that's reusable. USA's Anthony Lucero reports.
SpaceX is celebrating a successful launch.
3, 2, 1, 0. Liftoff of the Falcon 9.
The rocket lifted off from Cape Canaveral just before 1:30 a.m. Eastern Time, sending a Japanese communications satellite into orbit. Then came the hard part. The company tried to land the first stage of the rocket onto a barge in the Atlantic, knowing it was a long shot. But 10 minutes after launch...
And it looks like we have...
The first stage of the rocket landed on that barge floating in the Atlantic, perfectly vertical. The company wants to reuse its rockets to cut down on the cost of space travel. I'm Anthony Lucero.
There's no suspect in custody and no motive so far in a pair of shootings in Maryland that left one woman dead and three others injured. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Russ Jones, USA Radio News Director. My team and I are passionate about bringing you the best news product you can find on the radio. While we aren't biased, we are unabashedly American. With news bureaus across the nation and even Israel, we deliver news and sports 24 hours a day. If you miss the news at the top of the hour, make sure you check us out on the web at usaradio.com. That's usaradio.com.
As investigators probe the death of the singer Prince, a former late-night host is suing an Irish singer for what she said about the case. USA Radio's Chris Barnes explains.
Comedian Arsenio Hall is suing singer Sinead O'Connor for millions of dollars after O'Connor claimed that Arsenio provided drugs to Prince. Hall has filed a lawsuit in Santa Monica asking for $5 million in damages from the Irish singer-songwriter. O'Connor had taken to Facebook a few days ago claiming Prince was a longtime hard drug user who she said simply got his supply from Arsenio Hall. Hall fired back saying O'Connor's well known for her media antics and she's just seeking a attention. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
When you're taking mom out to brunch this Mother's Day, doctors say it's a great opportunity to talk about your family's cancer history. Dr. Hallie Moore with the Cleveland Clinic says cancers such as breast and ovarian can be genetic, and knowing about a family history of them may help prevent them from developing later.
By knowing your family history, you may know better if you might be at risk for a similar type of cancer.
Breast cancer can be inherited from either parent, and men can carry breast cancer genes as well. Emma and Noah top the list of favorite baby names in America for the second straight year, according to the Social Security Administration. This is USA Radio News. Breaking news online at usaradio.com.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Well, good afternoon, and it's a few minutes after 5, and of course, Friday, 5, sports guys. At least they're supposed to be sports guys. I'm Pat Smits, and I'm one of the sports guys, and I'm here to start off the program. And I'm going to start off with telling you a little bit about the weather, because if you're a tennis player, you're not going to be playing tennis outside this weekend, nor will anyone other than the most diehard golfers try to get out there, well, maybe Sunday afternoon, but then you don't dare because that's Mother's Day. So let's talk about the weather tonight. We have about a 40% chance of showers tonight, but the way it's been raining, it looks like it's going to continue. And then actually, tonight is about a 70% chance. Excuse me. I was looking at tomorrow. They say it's only about a 40% chance of showers. But again, it looks like they could be on and off. And so it will rain, and then it'll clear up, and then it'll rain again. So it's also going to be mostly cloudy. High of only about 64 degrees. Actually, that's warmer than it's been tomorrow night. Meaning Saturday night, there's a slight chance of showers before 9 p.m., and then there are going to be some isolated showers, mostly cloudy, again, low of about 46 degrees, which is not bad. And then on Sunday, however, again, scattered showers, but mainly before 9 a.m., then it should be partly sunny with a high of close to 69 degrees. Maybe it'll get hit 70. And that's good news if it dries out, because, of course, if you aren't living under a rock, you probably have heard that Sunday, May 8th, is Mother's Day. Important day. Let's not forget the mothers of the world. And that means, guys, your wife and anybody who has children. I hope there's somebody out there, including the children, who will remember the day. And I realize that it's pretty much a commercial thing, but it's still an important day. So we'll be back after I just take a couple more spots, and then we'll be back and talk about sports news.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Well, hello out there, sports fans. I'm Pat Smits, one of the sports guys. I'm waiting for some of the other guys. I hope they haven't been locked out of the building. That happens once in a while, and unfortunately, no one else is here at the chamber today. So I've talked to people in other offices and asked them, pleaded with them not to lock out our guys. But if that's their excuse, I'm going to go ahead and start the program. And of course, for all of us football fans, we had a lot to do last week watching the draft. I saw someone report, and he wasn't a sportscaster, he was just an ordinary guy, that he watched every minute of the draft, every day, every minute. Now, I'm not sure how he could have done that, unless he was had a portable, well, whatever, eating and all the rest of the things we do. This guy was certainly the most diehard person I've ever seen, if that was the case. So we've wrapped it up. Some of the teams probably did a lot better than others. We all know the quarterbacks that went first, and that wasn't surprising. So what about some of the other players? Okay. Well, I think that we all know that there was a real controversy over Laremy Tunsil. He was expected to go much higher. He was an offensive tackle from Ole Miss, and because of the unfortunate video that was played, my understanding, I didn't see it earlier, but was shortly before the draft started, he was selected at number 13, and as I said, they expected him to go much higher, and so he dropped that far, which, of course, translates to millions of dollars as far as his ability to make the big dollars the first year. So he did, and I think this is a great pick. Miami picked him, the Miami Dolphins. So here's you know, 6'5", 310-pound tackle. Frankly, I knew that he would not drop far enough for the Packers to take him, but I would have been delighted if they could have taken Laremy Tunsil, because, of course, the Packers were on the out. They were looking for big guys, and actually, they really did. They wanted big guys, and they really got big guys. And four of the Packers' seven draft picks are, in fact, linemen. And interestingly, is five of the seven were from the West. So that there is a group of guys who hopefully will be making a difference for the Packers this year. And, of course, the first guy that the Packers took, their selection, they did not move up the first round, so they did select number 27, and the selection was a defensive tackle from UCLA, Kenny Clark, 314 pounds. I know that Ted Thompson, who is one of the best at selecting players, was really pleased, and McCarthy was pleased to get this guy. And there goes the phone. So I'm going to play a spot and answer it.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the
I'm going to play the news again while I go unlock the door, as I was concerned about that's happened, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Just listen to the news and wait for the sports guys.
Many other people were surprised by it, and some were really surprised by it and not happy about it.
That's Donald Trump, who says the lack of backing from House Speaker Paul Ryan caught him off guard yesterday. But in typical Trump fashion, he's hitting back. A spokesperson for Trump, Katrina Pearson, told CNN that Ryan is not fit to remain speaker if he can't get behind the likely Republican presidential nominee. Pearson says Ryan bears more responsibility to unify the party than Trump does. Trump has also said that he has no interest in helping Ryan push his agenda through Congress. Security is being tightened at the American Embassy in Baghdad, CNN reporting that 25 heavily armed Marines arrived at the embassy this morning. The heightened security comes amid continued anti-government demonstrations in Iraq's capital city. This is USA Radio News.
After a rough day on the range, a fella can get a bit saddle sore. That's why I use Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. It works fast and penetrates deep to soothe my tired muscles and joints.
And he don't stink.
And I'll tell you one thing. I had no idea this stuff was so darn handy.
Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. Available at all major retailers. It works fast for long-lasting soothing of tired muscles and joints.
And you won't stink.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
Night Owls got the chance to see a rocket launch from Cape Canaveral and a new rocket model that's reusable. USA's Anthony Lucero reports.
SpaceX is celebrating a successful launch.
3, 2, 1, 0. Liftoff of Falcon 9.
The rocket lifted off from Cape Canaveral just before 1:30 a.m. Eastern Time, sending a Japanese communications satellite into orbit. Then came the hard part. The company tried to land the first stage of the rocket onto a barge in the Atlantic, knowing it was a long shot. But 10 minutes after launch...
And it looks like we
the first stage of the rocket landed on that barge floating in the Atlantic, perfectly vertical. The company wants to reuse its rockets to cut down on the cost of space travel. I'm Anthony Lucero.
There's no suspect in custody and no motive so far in a pair of shootings in Maryland that left one woman dead and three others injured. This is USA Radio News.
Okay, we're back. Sorry about that interruption.
My team and I are passionate about bringing you the best news product you can find on the radio. While we aren't biased, we are unabashedly American. With news bureaus across the nation and even Israel, we deliver news and sports 24 hours.
Okay, we're back, and as I said, I'm really sorry about that. We've asked the other people in this building not to lock the door, and when no one is here from the chamber, they just keep doing it. So, Bill, we're here. We're the sports guys at least are on for a few minutes. I don't know if John is going to make it today. So
I assume John's going to be here because he told me he would. But you know what, Pat? It's been an interesting week in sports. I'll have to tell you why. First of all, the Eagles now have drafted Carson Wentz out of the University of North Dakota, and they can't seem to get Sam Bradford to talk to them. Holy cow, what's going on over there?
Really?
Is he throwing a hissy fit, or is it just negotiations? Meanwhile, the Jets have also drafted a quarterback, and now nobody knows what Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to do. And, you know, we have voluntary workouts at training camps, I think, next week. So, folks, stay tuned. Meanwhile, the Yankees are in last place. They are playing terrible ball. Nobody seems to know what's wrong, but they seem to have the mark of a losing team or a bad team when the pitching's good and they got eight good innings from Tanaka the other night. They still managed to lose to Baltimore 1-0. They're not hitting, although they're getting some decent pitching and some decent relief pitching. They just don't seem to be able to get out of their own way. I think this is a year where the Yankees fall from contention into a rebuilding year, and I think the Yankees are just going to have to suck it up and suffer. Meanwhile, the surprise to me is that the Fightin' Phillies, the team everybody picked for last place in the National League East, or possibly even third place in the minor leagues, the Phillies are playing better than 500 ball. Last I looked, they were 14-11-11. They're playing the Marlins tonight at 7:30 down in Miami, probably the one place in the U.S. with good weather today, because the weather is bad. So, you know, baseball's a strange game. The Yankees have had a catastrophic road trip. Meanwhile, the Phillies have had a good stand. The Mets are playing well. That would make our sports guy Ken Milstrate happy, although he hasn't been able to come. And we might not see much of Ken anymore, from what I understand, because of his work commitments. Is that right,
Pat? Well, I actually talked to him this week or last week. No, this week. And he thought he was going to – I mean, he was really going to try to make it today. But he's been up working at 4 in the morning and working, you know, long hours. So he really has not been able to be here. And Ken, we miss you, and especially as, you know, we get into football season, I'm sure that Ken will be back, but he's also the good guy to talk about hockey.
He sure is.
And baseball. So what's happening in hockey?
Well, as you know, my Flyers bowed out fighting. They went down kicking and scratching and clawing and screaming to the Washington Capitals 4-2. And they managed to lose the last game 1-0. Amazing number of perimeter shots. Played defensively pretty well. Really only played one bad game, but it was a good measuring stick for them because they really need a couple of good natural shooters. We've all come to realize that Claude Giroux, good player that he is not a natural sniper. Jacob Voracek, good player that he is, not a natural sniper either, not somebody who can really deliver a goal when you really need one. But certainly all excellent pieces of what's going to prove to be a good team in a couple of years. We've also seen that Matt Reed, a guy with a great shot, has slowed, and I wonder whether Matt Reed's still going to be part of Philadelphia. And we saw Shane Gottesbeher step forward, and he's got a shot at being Rookie of the Year.
Wow.
He's one of the top three, and we'll know in about 3 weeks in Vegas when it No, in July in Vegas, excuse me, after the Stanley Cup has been awarded to somebody, whether he's going to be Rookie of the Year. But it's been a long time since the Flyer was Rookie of the Year. Meanwhile, if you've been watching the Pittsburgh-Washington series, you're seeing Washington's faults be revealed. Washington, although they like the idea that they're a puck possession team, Pittsburgh's been beating them to one puck after another. Washington takes a lot of perimeter shots. They don't seem to crash the net or play well in the slot. And the Pittsburgh Penguins, a team I really am not fond of, are playing very well defensively, and also they're getting offense, not just from Crosby and Malkin and Kunitz, but from a lot of the second-line and third-line players. So, and Pittsburgh's got a real hot rookie goaltender in Matt Murray, who seems to have pushed Marc-Andre Fleury out onto the bench. Fleury, as you know, was injured. Murray carried the Pens through the last month of the season, and now Pittsburgh just seems to be running away with it. So we're going to see the Capitals once again choke and slowly sink into the sunset. Meanwhile, the Islanders, a surprise cup contender in my book, are down 2-1 to the Tampa Bay Lightning, a very good team. This is probably the last year you're going to see Steve Stamkos playing for the Lightning. He's going to be a free agent. He's going to command a heck of a lot of money at 28 years old. And some team's going to pick him up. Maybe it'll be Philly, although they don't have the cap room for him. But someone sure enough is going to find a spot for him. And it wouldn't surprise me if it was a team like the Minnesota Wild, who has cap room and oodles of money. So, Pat, how are the Packers doing?
Well, it was really interesting, and I started to talk about this. I mean, we know that the Packers wanted big guys in the draft, and they got big guys. Now, I hope that the fact that they really traded up to get Jason Spriggs, they must have wanted him because they really traded away a lot. I don't have the specifics in front of me, but they really traded up for this Indiana offensive tackle. And so that made at least two big guys in the first two rounds. But the other thing is four of their seven draft picks are linemen. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Defensive or offensive?
Well, both. You know, there's some. You know, they had. They've got both offensive and defensive guys. So, now, in fact, the offensive lineman Kyle Murphy was their final sixth round choice, and he's the second pick they got from Stanford. So, they picked two guys from Stanford. Inside linebacker Blake Martinez was from Stanford, as well as, I think he was in the fourth round, and then they got another guy, Kyle Murphy, in the sixth round.
How many of these guys do you think are going to be starting for the Packers this year?
Well, it really depends on...
Anybody really stand out?
Well, I mean, they're of course, their first choice in the first round was Kenny Clark, who's a defensive tackle. So I'm sure they must have thought that if they were going for a defensive tackle in their first pick, they must have thought a lot about him. You know, Ted Thompson is usually good, and, you know... But everybody wants to brag about how well they did in the draft. So, you know, we're not going to know until, the first few games. It's interesting. The only reason to go to preseason games, and we don't do it anymore because of the cost involved going from New Jersey to Green Bay, but that's the one time that you see a lot of these young guys, the preseason games. They're trying to, you know, they'll give the starters a few minutes, and then they really go to the rookies and, you know, some of the people have been on the practice team and the guys that want to see, you know, how they might actually play once they're in the pros. So I think we'll find out more. You tell me. I always think we find out a little bit more, you know, as the preseason games go on. And then, of course, you know, we don't know how many of either the Packers or anyone else's picks will be there after they start winnowing away to get down to, what is it?
53 guys.
And at this point, I guess it's unlimited the number of people that they have, right?
Oh, they could have half of Green Bay show up.
Well, in Green Bay they will.
Yeah, on the practice squad.
In fact, they have, I think the Packers, I think they had about seven undrafted players that they have came in to Green Bay. But what they did is they, as I said, they really traded up. This is what they did to get Spriggs. They traded up 9 spots in the second round on Friday night to grab this Indiana offensive tackle. And that was the number 48 overall pick. But what they had to do that is they surrendered their original second round pick plus a fourth rounder and a seventh rounder to Indianapolis to make the move. So they must have thought this guy's pretty good, right?
I would think. You know, to be trading up and up and up for somebody who is going to be a lineman is not all that unusual. But usually you see people making those trades so they can get a quarterback or a running back, somebody who's going to be an offensive player. I've always been a fan of defensive football, and I always thought games were won and lost at the line or with linebackers because, to me, I think to play defense in the NFL, you have to be both smart and quick and big. And you have a lot of different offensive schemes you have to read, and you've got to react to them quickly. Because remember, it's the offense that moves first, and the defense has to react to
it. Well, you have the Packers in the first two rounds had two big guys and in the first two rounds of the selection because, of course, UCLA defensive lineman Kenny Clark was in the first round. And Spriggs is 6'6", 301 pounds. And, you know, the thought is that he will give the Packers some depth at offensive tackle. And that really was a sore spot last season. If you remember left tackle David Bakhtiari, and I never can pronounce that name, but he missed a series of games late in the year due to injury. And, you know, the problem was the pass protection suffered until they moved Ted Treader, who was normally a backup center, and he filled in for that wild card playoff game at Washington. So anyway, you know, the thought is that Spriggs should be able to play anywhere on the line, but he was a four-year college starter at left tackle, and that certainly gives the Packers another option of backing up Bakhtiari and also right tackle Brian Bulaga. I mean, both of those guys are good, but when one of them is out, and that's what happened last year, it was a real problem. So let's see, because, you know, according to the college coaches, you know, he was stronger, he added some weight, and he was always very athletic. And so obviously the Packers saw something special to do that kind of trading up.
Do you think that they're grooming anybody to replace Clay Matthews after he begins to, his skills begin to fade?
Well, I mean, you know,
Matthews
talk to Clay,
what,
his skills are never going to be able to fade. I mean, you know, they're just not going to. I mean, Clay Matthews is really unique. They can put him at the end. They can put him in the middle. you know, about the only thing that I haven't seen him do is play quarterback. But
here's
everything
an unexplained
else,
John Manfreda sighting. How and, are you, John?
And I guess, John, when
the door
we
was open.
We
hello, everyone.
And the door stayed open. I did you see the little way that I opened it?
She found the box and
yes.
jammed it in
yeah.
there.
Yeah, downstairs. Yeah.
Good.
Well, so we were not happy.
So meanwhile, you think that Clay Matthews is not somebody who's going to fade for a while. You think he's going to play till he's what now, 27, 26?
I don't know. Oh, I think he's probably 27, 28. I don't know. Do you mm-hmm. know, John? But I think, you know, he's going to stick around. He's so competitive that unless he's truly injured, and he's got a lot of versatility, and so that's what's really important.
We're
talking about the people that the different teams picked up as far as the draft, and, of course, the Packers.
You
really
mean drafted or free agents?
No, drafted.
Yeah.
Well, drafted, and then, of course, I'm beyond free agents, but I guess you guys are still stuck there.
Well,
and, of course,
you know,
there are a lot of undrafted guys that are now getting looked at by
the free
various
agents.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
so, and there
oh,
may
you're
not
be
a
talking
lot of free
about,
agency
you're
signings.
Not, you're not talking about the free agents whose contracts ended or, okay, you're talking about the kids in the draft.
Well, I guess that's called free agency period,
free.
Right,
it
Bill?
Is. Yeah.
What
is.
Do you call the college kids who aren't drafted? I guess those are free agents?
I don't think so.
Undrafted.
I think undrafted.
Undrafted free agents.
Undrafted
well, they're just
agents, exactly.
undrafted.
From people
players
who,
whose
players
contracts are just
right.
run out.
Expired, right, who've been in
yeah.
the NFL.
Yeah.
And,
that's
yeah.
the only – I've always thought of the free agents as people whose contracts have expired.
Well, what did you think of the Packers draft?
Actually, they needed big guys, and they got big guys. It's very interesting, I thought.
On the lines, you mean? They needed linemen?
Four out of the seven draft picks are linemen.
All offensive linemen, you said.
Well, no. They have defensive linemen.
I thought their biggest problem was going to be protecting Rodgers.
Yeah, well, that is. Yes. And they picked, and we've already been talking about the fact that they picked up and really they traded up in order to get Jason Spriggs. So they've got to have really believing that he can, you know, do a lot for them. And so what about the other teams? What about your Giants? Are you pleased with the.
You know. I like their second round pick better than the first round pick. The first
really?
Round pick was the corner, Eli Apple, who they say is the best pure corner in the draft. Great cover guy, but they just spent a ton of money signing a corner. But, you know, you can't have too many good shutdown corners. So it's hard to argue with the pick, but there was a linebacker or two available or the offensive lineman, the one, the kid that dropped in the draft because of the picture that was
LeMay.
Sent in.
Yeah. Tustin.
Yeah, they say he was perhaps the best player in the draft.
Well, that's why they said he really
and Miami
dropped.
May have gotten themselves a big bargain at 13.
I really said that I was hoping he'd draft all the way to 27 because I would have thought that any team
well, that's what happened.
Would have
the
picked
other,
him.
Who, the other big guy was Warren Sapp, became a Hall of
right.
Famer.
Right.
There was rumors that he smoked marijuana his senior year, and he said that was ridiculous, blah, blah, blah. And he wanted to have a Hall of Fame career for the Tampa Bay Bucks.
And
so,
I think I'm correct when they said that Tunsil had tested negative.
And he had tested negative,
you
correct.
Know, so.
Yeah, it's no doubt he's going to spend his resources trying to find out who did this. Because somebody, an hour before the draft, floated that out there. Now, could it be an ex-girlfriend who's mad at him?
Or they speculated it could have
all
been.
All ex-girlfriends are, you know,
the fury
on
of
notice.
A woman, the fury of a woman scorned.
You
holy
got
cow.
It.
No. But they speculated it was his stepfather.
Oh, how
wow, that would
that
be horrible.
You know?
How
but
horrible.
The point is, who. I mean, somebody had to be pretty sophisticated to.
They hacked.
Get in and, you know, we won't comment. What you guys would think about whether any women could have done that. But the point is, this could be.
Well, as a matrimonial family lawyer, Pat, we know you wouldn't want to comment on that.
But this could be. Now, I hate to see him go to Miami Dolphins because if he does have any problems, I think, you know,
yeah,
Miami
not a good place
is
to be.
Not a good place to be. But if anyone has something to prove. This kid does.
You're exactly correct. Not only is this guy immensely talented, that's a very good point, Pat. He now is Tom Brady-esque. Yes. I'm going to prove to the world yep. that I'm really the best.
Exactly.
I hadn't even thought of that, but you
hit
no
the nail
doubt.
On the head there because, you know, the Dolphins have been struggling for a lot of years.
Long time.
They play in a conference where they have to play the Patriots twice. They have to play a good New York Jets defense twice. And they've got a rising Buffalo Bills team that Rex Ryan has playing competitively for the first time in many years. So the Dolphins have something to prove, and they're in a very competitive AFC East. So we're going to see this guy have all sorts of motivations to show that he's not just another pot-headed lineman.
I think he definitely yeah, you're right. And he's so talented, you know, that as I said, I would rather have him play in not such a media spotlight like, you know, Miami, Washington, New York. You know, I frankly was hoping he'd drop all the way down so the Packers could pick him up at
But to finish the answer to your question, Pat, I was more excited about the second round pick for the Giants, the number 40 selection overall, who is one, perhaps, you know, the fastest receiver in the draft, tremendous hands, and they're saying with him on one side, Beckham on the other, and Cruz in the slot, if you have all three of them on the field and they can stay healthy, they're going to be scary.
Well, that should be, I mean, what it'll do is it'll give Eli a lot of options, and
yeah,
that'll
be scary. If they can get him on the field, that's the trick.
Who
you
is,
can draft
who is it?
Him, but can you get him on the field? Can you coach him? Can you make it work?
Who is
you
it? Who? What's his name?
The second round pick, number 40 selection overall. His name slips my mind right now,
okay.
but really very good kid. So what about the Eagles, Bill? The big gamble. The big gamble, we chatted a little bit about it last week because that trade you know, had happened by then. You know, I hear both ends of it. I hear the kid Wentz is you know, big, 6'5", 240. He's got the size, got an excellent arm. And what I was told, albeit by an Eagles fan, you have to question the source, but the reason he didn't get into a Division I school was because when he was in high school, he was 8 inches shorter. He was like 5'10".
Really?
And he grew like 8 inches in the last couple of years to become this monster. That was the claim anyway. But he was in a D2 program, but the best D2 program.
Well, I've also heard something else about him, whether it's true or not, I don't know. But apparently he's very smart.
He is very bright guy.
Very, very bright guy.
Bright guy. Yeah. And, you know, you need
You don't picture
bright,
a guy like that in Philadelphia. But having
No, but drafted, you need bright quarterbacks. I mean, come on. They need to be smart. And whether my bigger concern for him, and I really like this kid, but my bigger concern for him is, in fact, Philadelphia.
Well, they've said they're coming from North Dakota.
To Philly.
Bill,
no,
not exactly well prepared. In fact, he already, on the very first day, within the first hour of being an Eagle, committed a foul pole already when they were interviewing him. Maybe an hour after he was selected, and they said basically, so how do you feel about going to Philadelphia? And he said, well, I'm happy they didn't boo me.
Good for
he
him.
He has a sense of humor.
Good for him.
We're already killing him. And on the radio
No. Good for him.
And what they're saying is that he was well aware of what happened to Donovan McNabb in 1999. You know, they pick McNabb, they trade up for the second overall pick, they take McNabb, and there's a chorus of boos.
Well, you know something? It's all hype. It's all hype. It's all going to go away.
Well, perception is reality, Bill.
But you know what?
Not always the case. Remember something. Philadelphia fans will love it. If he keeps his mouth shut, he plays behind Brady, he takes a lot of snaps, he acts humble, and suddenly he starts to connect
well,
on his
well, that's another issue.
Wins.
Do you blame Bradford? Now they're killing him, right? And I
they're
know
killing
it wasn't
Bradford.
Right. For two reasons. One, he signed a contract to be there. Two, he's got $22 million guaranteed, and he's moaning. However,
he wants to be traded now.
Well, listen, look at his perspective. The next morning on the radio, what was the advertisement? Hi, this is WXYP, home of the Philadelphia Eagles, and the what was the phrase? The Wentz era has started, and we're going to be here to report. This kid is drafted the next morning. They are anointing this kid. It's the Wentz era, okay? And you got Sam Bradford supposed to be your starting quarterback. The team sacrificed a lot of material to get that pick. The fans are now thinking, he knows damn well the first interception, he's going to hear a chorus of, we want Wentz. I mean, the guy's in a no-win
situation. You know,
secondly, they sacrificed all those picks to get this kid for the future. And they, in the meantime, they would have had a first-round pick. They could have got Tunsil. They could have got this big offensive lineman. They could have got a receiver. So if you're Bradford, you're saying, wait a minute, yeah, they signed me. Yeah, they paid me a lot of money guaranteed. But how am I going to play here? They sacrificed picks to bring this kid in. He's not ready to play. So I'm going to play, even if they upgrade the offensive line a little, which they have, with both a free agent signing and a good, pretty good third-round pick. It's still a problem. So if you are Bradford, you're going gung-ho into the season when you know the whole thing is about the kid.
But on the other hand, Peterson is a patient guy. And he's a rookie coach. He's been there before when it came to bringing along young quarterbacks. If you want to take a deep breath and calm down, which is tough for a lot of Eagle fans, maybe it's too many tasty cakes or too much Schmitz beer. But on the other hand, you have a team that was decimated by Cowchip Kelly, as you like to call him.
Finally got Bill on the right wavelength.
Yeah, okay. Another chip shot, right, John?
There you go.
Moving right along, though, you've got the problem of a rebuilding year for the Eagles. They did not play well against any of their conference rivals, even at the games that they won.
Bill, let me interrupt just a minute, because I think what John is saying is that already the Eagle fans won't let that happen. In other words, we all recognize, and I think the powers to be recognize, that Wentz is the kind of quarterback that you want to bring along so that when he's ready, he could really be the franchise quarterback.
See, the difference is, and they're making analogies to Green Bay, okay?
Right.
But the difference was everybody knew that Aaron had to wait his turn. You had Brett Favre.
Right.
Okay? So when they draft Aaron Rodgers, even though they knew a lot of potential, although he certainly exceeded his potential, not only was a first-round pick, but an excellent first-round pick, but you didn't have a problem with him sitting behind Brett Favre because it was Brett Favre.
Right.
Well, remember.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Remember something, folks. You can talk about all of that. And you can talk about Eagle fans. Remember, there's a real problem when management listens to Eagle fans a little bit too much.
You're right.
They drink the Kool-Aid of, well, we got to win now. So they go out and they grab a free agent or two, and they think that this is going to be like the second coming.
Which is something that Green Bay never did.
Flyers made this mistake year after year after year. Ed Snyder always put a great product on the ice. He spent a lot of money for free agents. He put them into cap trouble. He allowed Paul Holmgren to put them into cap trouble.
Probably overspent a little bit, but he had good intentions.
He had great intentions. The Flyers always made the playoffs.
Competitive team.
They never really, and they traded away a lot of perfectly good prospects. They gave up on Patrick Sharp way too early.
Dennis
Seidenberg way too early.
That was a
big mistake. And they went and brought in people like Briskalov. Who they thought was going to win him a cup. So,
well, no, we get your point, Bill.
But back to the Eagles. Snyder and Holmgren were playing into this, oh, we got to win now. And they hyped these things up because, the fans didn't appear to be patient. Well, there's a new game in town with Hextall. I think there's a new game in town with Roseman. Finally getting back in the saddle and getting to decide some of these player choices that Kelly had taken away from him. Remember, Rosen had not built a bad team. They were 10-6 for 2 years until Chip Kelly finally got what he wanted. And, of course, then they went, 4-12? So look at it this way, John. They're building for the future. They know they're not going to win it all next year. They know they're going to need to keep Sam Bradford around for 2 or 3 years.
Absolutely.
They know he's fragile. But they've beefed up the offensive line
absolutely.
To protect him.
Yeah.
They've actually gotten him somebody who can catch the ball.
Aguilar better have a good year.
Exactly.
Jerry Reese said of Prince Amukamara, who's no longer with the Giants, you know, we drafted him first. We paid him like a first-round draft pick. But he didn't play like a first-round draft pick.
He certainly didn't.
And Aguilar had a very bad first year. So
he did,
now,
but you know something? You got to be patient with some of these young guys.
I think wide receivers, you really do.
Remember how much they have to learn, and remember the beating they take from defensive backs and from the safeties. You know, they extend themselves to catch a ball, and they're going to get speared. They're in the most vulnerable position. So when you have young guys like that.
Bottom line is they're in that position. That is their job.
That is their job, yeah.
And they find a way to get that done. Part of it, you're right, the quarterback can't lead them over the middle. But I think, you know, just picking up on your point about the need to win now with Philadelphia, I think the reason, and again, this is, I want to get your take on it, but, and I'll just take two flagship franchises, okay? Both the Giants and the Packers have gone long periods of time in between championships.
Oh, that is true.
Yet the fan base doesn't waver. Everybody's proud to Do you think the inability the point is, I mean, even the Jets can say we got one piece of hardware in the trophy case. We got a Super Bowl, okay? Do you think just the app there's only like 8 teams that have never won? Do you think the fact that they've not won is just – it's like the scarlet A, okay? It just becomes so overwhelming every year. We got to do it this year. We just got to get this monkey off of
That's kind of how it was
with Boston and the Red Sox.
Yeah, but I just think that's
–
they won 86 years.
Yeah, I just think that's Philadelphia. I mean, they're – I'm sorry.
I'm not so sure.
They're nasty fans. They're nasty fans. They have
certainly difficult, but it's tough. I mean, you could say the same. Look, nobody knows better than me. Okay, you go to Boston 13 years ago after 1980, after 2003, and Aaron Boone. Okay, it was pretty nasty there too for a while. Then 2004 happened. Then 2007 happened. It changed. 2013 was ho hum. Third championship in 9 years. When you win, it's easy to be gracious when you win. Okay, Red Sox finished last place the last 2 years. They're in first place right now. We'll see if they play this weekend with the bad weather. The Yankees are probably hoping for a monsoon so they don't have to play them. But, you know, when you win, Pat, you can go stretches. You can say, okay, this is a bad year. All right, last year was really a bad year. The year before was probably even worse, okay? But Giants fans could say, well, look, in the last 10 years, we had 2 Super Bowls, okay? And the Packers, because it looks...
Oh, no, no, but wait a minute. Look how long the Packers...
Oh, no, no, that was one of the worst.
And I grew up through that, so...
Yeah, you did. What do you think I grew up with with the Red Sox? 67, right. 75, 86, I mean, on and on and on. But the thing is, we had, when you looked at the franchise, we had hardware in the trophy. They had won.
Well, okay. Maybe, You're but Skipper McLean.
That the last, in fact, I think the only championship they won was that 1960 NFL championship when there were only, 12 teams? I mean,
that was
the last
Eagles championship. It was 1960. That was in the Pete Retzloff era.
Yeah, I mean, in the modern era, that's you're talking 55 years.
Well, remember something. Philadelphia has had this inferiority complex for a lot of years.
Well, I think they create that themselves because, Bill, they try to say, oh, we're like a Boston. We're like a New York. And you're not. the geography, the demography. It's just a different place. I mean, you take in Atlanta. I think Philadelphia is better than Atlanta, but yet Atlanta carries itself well, positive self-image. I mean, you know, the Braves are horrible, but they had a nice run, although they only won one or two champions. Really the one, right? That's right. All that, with all that pitching. Right. The one. But point
the,
being,
they were
I think
always
Philly
ahead
does that
in the,
to himself.
They were
themselves.
Always in the,
well, let me ask you something
East,
else.
They would always win their conference or win their division, and then they would tank in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But, you know, the problem with Philadelphia is, remember, we had a Philadelphia Sixers team that in 1972 won nine games
and
lost 72 games.
Yeah.
And
they're repeating
were abysmal.
That now.
And remember, we've got the Phillies who've lost more baseball games than any
other
team in baseball.
Only franchise to lose 10,000. Do you know that's actually – I meant to mention this to you. Every New Year's Day, we play Trivial Pursuit at my house with the entire extended family. And if you know how Trivial Pursuit works, you have to fill up the six pie plates and then have to get back to the center. And when my sister-in-law read the question, it's the guys against the girls – what major league team has lost 10,000 games in it during its franchise history?
Well, you were jumping up and down.
I just had a big smile, and she said, "Uh-oh, I think John knows the answer." And I said, "Yes, I do."
Well,
Philadelphia Phillies.
Let me ask you something. Do you think it has anything to do with how successful Pittsburgh has done? Because, you know, is there any competition within Pennsylvania? Does that have anything to do? I frankly have no idea.
I frankly don't think so because they're so far away.
Yeah, I agree with
and,
that.
And, you know, that Pittsburgh might as well be in Ohio for the way most people in Philly think about it. The Pittsburgh Penguins, certainly the Flyers fans hate them, and there's
football.
No love lost.
Well, it's a good rivalry with the Penguins.
With the Penguins in hockey.
But kind of to Pat's point, there's a rivalry because the Flyers have been pretty good.
And baseball.
And her point is that there's been a huge disparity Eagles-Steelers.
I'm getting there. When you talk about the Steelers and the Eagles, first of all, the Steelers are in the AFC. They don't play each other that often.
That's the point. I mean, you know, remember, all of the NFL teams used to look at the AFC as just like, you know, what, kindergartners.
And until they won 13 Super Bowls in a row.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. But remember something. If the Eagles.
I'm sorry, not 13 Super Bowls. It was 13 Pro Bowls, I think.
Yeah.
Plus a bunch of Super Bowls.
Your problem is this. They don't play each other except in oddball years. And if the schedulers were smart,
they
would have the Eagles play the Steelers every year so they could hype it. Oh, the state championship. And they would make it
a meaningful
game.
Well, they do it in the preseason, although they don't even do that.
They don't even do it in the preseason,
yeah,
John.
Yeah.
What they
Most states do.
If they were smart, they would make it the game right after Thanksgiving. They would make it the Sunday after Thanksgiving. Everybody's home. You got two teams that are supposedly going to be on the rise.
Bill, that would make too much sense. Yeah. But, come on.
But remember something. You would have the governors show up, and you would award the governor's trophy.
Well, that's what they do. Like when the
in
Chiefs
New York
played
does it,
the Rams,
the Mets and the Yanks.
They would have their cup, and you have that in the preseason.
So what do you think about the Rams now that they're going back to
L.A.? Well, they are back in L.A.
I know. Now that they're back in L.A., what do you think is going to happen, you know, with that team?
They were a pretty good team. When I'm in Vegas in the near future, I'm going to put a bet on the Rams probably because they were 7-9, but they were the best 7-9 team you ever saw. And now they've added a great quarterback.
Right.
I really think this kid is ready to play. Whereas Wentz needs some – this kid is ready. Goff is ready to play. And I think the Rams are going to – the problem is they're in a big bad division. You know, they were
right.
In a division with Seattle.
Exactly.
And Arizona. And so it may not be their year, but within a year or two, the Rams are a very young team. They're a very, very good team. They've drafted well. They haven't had a winning season in like 13 years, I know. But since they had the greatest show on turf era, that 3-4 years with Kurt Warner and so forth, But they've drafted fairly well in recent years.
I thought they drafted very well. And remember something, too. They're getting a new stadium in, what, 3 years? 2 years? They're playing in the L.A. Coliseum this year and next year. But their new arena should be ready. It's going to be a show place.
Why didn't they play in the Rose Bowl?
They're going to want to have a good team.
Is the Coliseum better than the Rose Bowl?
I don't know.
Been there, but the Rose Bowl
I've never
is,
been in either.
The Rose Bowl is a great stadium. A little hard to get to. Parking is awful, but I mean that's really a beautiful stadium.
It may very well
80,
be, but remember, Los Angeles is a
Rose
car
Bowl's
town.
100,000
people can sit in the Rose Bowl, but you know, the Coliseum. Remember, the Rams played there when they first moved there,
right?
And now they're back, and the Coliseum's a relatively old place. It was built
in
the 40s.
Wait a minute, I know.